Well, how are we doing? Well, praise God. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord is with you and that you are feeling strengthened in God. Are you being uplifted? Are you being revived? Hallelujah. Well, there is nothing like serving the Lord and walking in the ways of God. And all that we do it to the glory of God. We're not doing it to please people. We are not even trying to prove anything to anybody. We're here to reflect the glory of God, the image of Christ. And God is molding us and shaping us and bringing us through this process that is enabling us to become more and more like Jesus. In fact, the Word of God says, one day we will see him as he is. And there is nothing greater than being able to recognize Jesus. I don't necessarily think Jesus is going to show up with a turban and a big, you know, white wraparound. I think in the past 1,000 years or 2,000 years, I think the wardrobe in heaven has kind of shifted a little bit since then. You know, they may have some new stuff out, and so you know, we need to get to know the Lord as he is, get to know him, get to know his person, his spirit, and be able to discern the presence of the Lord, the ways of the Lord, the things of God. God is our supplier. He is the one who makes a way for us. He is the one who enables us. And we are talking about this month being abundantly supplied. It's the idea that God, it has no shortages. He doesn't run out of resources. He has plenty to share. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but sometimes I kind of ration things when I feel like I might run out. Do you ever do that? You start to ration. You start pulling back, and you start kind of, like maybe you have like a little stash somewhere, a secret stash of things. Right, and that's because there is the potential for things to run out. And so when there is no limit, then you don't have to ration. You can freely give, isn't that right? You can release, you can let it go. And that's what God is wanting us to understand today, that it's important for us to be able to let things go, to be able to allow him to continually supply all of our needs. And so we're looking here in the Word of God as we look at Matthew 6:33. Our lead verse for today is, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." God is the supplier of all our needs. God is in the multiplication, division, and subtraction business. He is a great mathematician. The Lord can bless and add, and the Lord can subtract and take away. And it's up to us to walk in a way whereby we are able to experience God's provision, God's direction, God's way being made for us as God opens doors, as he gives us opportunities. And that requires us to seek first the kingdom of God. And you and I are called to put God first and his righteousness. In other words, do things the way God would have us to do them. And that's when things get added. That's when things begin to change, things begin to happen. And so I would like to use as a theme for today, seek first. Hallelujah. Seek first. What does it mean to seek first? How is it that we can seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness if we don't understand what it means to seek first? And so I'm going to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would abundantly supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory as we reflect the image of God and he enables us to prevail beyond these times. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word, and we just ask, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of us and that you would begin to transform our hearts and renew our minds. Help us, oh God, to increase our levels of hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and that we would be able to apply the principles of your word, that we would be doers and not just hearers, and that we would be a people who are able to reflect all that you are and all that you are doing, so that those who don't know you may recognize that you are with us and that you are not only with us, but you are for us, and that you are making a way and you have the ability to bring life and transform that which is negative into that which is positive, that all things would be working together for good in our lives, according to your purposes as we live in your ways. And Lord, we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, certainly, this is one of the most popular verses in the Bible, seeking first the kingdom of God. And many of us have heard this and we've seen it. And, you know, even if you don't go to church, I'm sure people who don't go to church have probably heard this verse. You probably hear this verse walking by a church. It's so popular. And God is looking to provide for his people. God wants us to understand that he is the one who cares for us. He is the one who watches over us. He is the one who makes a way for us. But it requires our seeking first the kingdom of God. There is power in the name of Jesus. But the power is relevant to you, determining based on how much or where you place God in your life. If God is first, you get the fullness of God. But as God goes down the line, the less of God you will experience. And so the more we keep God first, the more we experience God in the different areas of our lives. If we put God first at home, then our homes will be blessed. If we seek God and put him first on our jobs, God will bless us on the job. And wherever it is that we find our relationships, our situations, our circumstances, each of the experiences that life brings us will cause us or present opportunity for us to keep God first. And so the question is, what does it mean to seek God first? Well, firsts are always important. Do you remember the first time you did things in your life, the various experiences that you've had? The first time always has a certain feeling to it, doesn't it? There's a certain atmosphere that it has. There's a certain mystique when you've never done something before, or you've never experienced it before. And it's not until you have that experience that you're able to recall that experience. With that experience comes a feeling. It comes a remembrance of what it was like. And there's a whole atmosphere that is presented because it was a first-time experience. Once you've done something several times or over and over again, it's never the same as the first time. It's never the same as the very first time. And so God says, if you keep me first, I will keep giving you first-time experiences. I will do a new thing in your life over and over again. I will keep your first experiences alive. And so God wants to build a relationship with us that enables us to trust him to do something new every day, all the time. So it's not the same old, same old, because God is doing a new thing in the earth, in the midst of his people. And so you and I are able to glorify God, not because he's just doing the same old thing over and over again, but because he's doing a new thing in the midst of our lives. That's what makes the Christian life so exciting. We're able to recognize the hand of God in the different areas of our lives that he is working and creating new first-time experiences for us. And so what does it mean to be first? Well, the first, it means, I looked it up and I have a bunch of things here. First, it says being before all others with respect to time, order, rank, importance, and everything else. And it's used as the number one, to represent the number one. It's the first thing or the first place. It is the thing that comes above and beyond everything else. In music, it represents the lead voice or the main theme or the main or chief or the highest, or that is at the forefront of what you're hearing. The main instruments. When I was playing in the orchestra, there were always auditions to be held in order to determine where you would sit. Hallelujah. And so you were always given the opportunity to prepare and practice ahead of time so that you could bring your best. And when you were brought into the audition room, you were given a piece of music to play, and you had to be able to play it better than everybody else. And depending on, you can tell how well people played by where they sat. And so the people who played the best were always at the front, in the front chair, the lead chair. Those were the people who got the solo parts and the parts that were the main themes, the things that were important to be able to be carried by a single instrument. And so those people were at the front. But as you went down, it didn't mean they couldn't play or they wouldn't be there at all. It just meant they didn't play as well as the person next to them, to the left. And so the person who was all the way at the end of the line, that's the last chair. And the last chair means he had a bad day at the audition. It certainly didn't have as good of a day as the people ahead of him. And as you spent time and as you learned and developed your skills, and that's what motivated you to practice. That's what motivated you to do better, to do well, because you knew there was an audition coming. And even if you didn't do well in the audition or you didn't really mind where you sat in the orchestra, you knew if you were going to do it professionally in some way, there would always be an audition coming that you would need to be able to do better than everyone else in order to get the job. And so keeping firsts in your life is an important thing. I'll never forget when I was designated first chair in my section, and I got to be in the first chair, and I got to play and as the lead. And then there was this other girl who also played saxophone with me. And so she auditioned, and she did well. In fact, I think she may have done a little better than me. And so I had to share my seat. I was like, I never heard of this. How does it, I have to share my seat? But she did better than I did in the audition. And so we had to share the seat. So for some events, she sat first and I sat second. And other events, I sat first and she sat second. And it was this little competition that we had among us. And we were all happy. We were seniors that year. And so it was good that we were able to sit in the seat of prominence. And it was a thing when you were in the orchestra and in the band. And you and I are experiencing the same type of thing in our Christian life. keeping God first, putting him above or before everything else in life, is a skill that needs to be acquired. It's not just something that automatically happens. We work at it because it's so easy to be distracted and to cause the things in life to get in the way of following the principles of God and his word, keeping him first. You and I have to learn how to do that. We know that in cars and in bicycles and anything that has a gear ratio, first gear is an important gear. Isn't that right? Right? If first gear goes bad, you're in trouble. I remember I had a friend who had an MG, and it was a little convertible two-seater. And I got to a stoplight. He loaned me his car, and I put it in first gear, and I stepped on the gas, and it didn't move. The engine just raced. He had no first gear. So I had to put it in second gear. But when I put it in second gear and I went to go, it started going cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Because the car was not made to start out in second gear. It was made to start with first gear. And so it was a lot harder to start in second gear than first gear. And so when I got down the road a little bit, a mile or so, I got to another light, and then second gear stopped working. Yeah, oh no, that's exactly what I said to myself. And so I was stuck, so I tried to get it in third gear. Well, third gear worked for a little bit, and then guess what? It stopped working. And so I went to fourth gear, and fourth gear just caused the car to go ka-chunk. And then it stopped working. But I did have one gear left, reverse. I tried reverse, and the car backed up. So I backed into a parking space and got out of the car, called my friend from the telephone that was on the corner, and said, your car is on the corner of Park Street and Midland Avenue. It stopped working. I'm going to walk. You can come pick it up. And I left the key in the box. And so he came, and he did. He came, he picked it up. And so, we rebuilt the transmission and put it back, and then it worked fine. But I learned a very important lesson. Never buy an MG again, because that was the last thing I wanted to have to deal with. And so God wants us to understand the importance of putting God first before everything else. It will make your life go easier. It will enable you as you go through life to have better life experiences. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. We will have troubles. We will have difficulties. We'll have all kinds of challenges. But depending on where God is in your life, that will determine how well or how easy it is to manage, or how you will fare as you deal with the difficulties and challenges of life. On a bicycle, when you put the bike in first gear, it's easy to pedal, isn't it? You never had a bike with gears? No? Wow. Oh, man, what do I do now? Well, let me do it anyway. A bike that has gears, I'm sure you're familiar. Some have 3 speeds, some have 5 speeds, some have 10 speeds, some have 12 and even 15 speeds. And so, depending on how you select the gears, that will determine how hard it is to pedal. And so, when you're in first gear, it's the biggest sprocket. And it means it's going to be easier to turn the wheel, because the sprocket size is closer to the size of the wheel than the smaller sprockets. So the higher you go, the smaller the sprockets get. Have you at least seen a bicycle? Wow, these are some challenging times, aren't they? Wow, you guys got to get outside. And so the little gear at the root of the wheel is smaller, and it gets bigger as it goes out. The bigger it is, the easier it is to turn the wheel. The smaller it is, the harder it is to turn the wheel. And so when you're pedaling the bike, you want a gear ratio so that when you go up the hill, when you face challenges, when you face difficulties, you want to be in the easiest gear to pedal, which is the first gear. And the first gear is important because it makes your work go further. When you pedal, you go further in the pedaling ratio, even as you go up the hill. So now you're able to pedal. It's easier for you to move ahead. And so that means you'll be pedaling fast and going a little bit, but at least you'll be moving. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Right. So when you put God first in your life, God enables you to go through life easier so that he is able to lead you. He's able to guide you. He's able to show you and reveal things to you so that as we go through life, we're having a different life experience from those who are pedaling with God somewhere down the chain. Maybe God is second place in your life, or maybe he's third place, or fifth place, or tenth place. But if you put God in first place, you will be able to face the uphill battles of life a lot easier because God is first in your life. God will speak to you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will make a way for you. He opens doors of opportunities. And so you'll have a different perspective on life. This is why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. We're not just having a relationship with Jesus for the sake of saying, yes, I believe in Jesus. I know who he is and I know what he's done and I believe all of that. The reason is because Jesus represents a kingdom. He represents a way into a life and an experience that will last for eternity. It begins now in this life and goes on into eternity. And so as a result, when you say you're giving yourself to Christ, you're saying, I am entering into a new kingdom. I'm changing my life and world perspective from one that is earth-based or human-based to one that is from God, a divine perspective, a heavenly perspective. I'm seeing from above, looking down, not from the ground, looking up. And so my perspective changes when I come to Christ. Jesus said, I am the door. And so when Jesus comes into your life and you come to Christ, he's opening the door to the kingdom. Hallelujah. So he's now saying, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one comes into himself or into his kingdom, into his ways, except through me, Jesus said, through Jesus. So when you come to Christ, that's just the beginning. You're just getting started. And so that means there is an entire life ahead of you of exploring and getting to know the kingdom of God. Not just the place, but the experience, the kingdom experience. Because God is spirit and we are of the flesh and of the earth. And so God says, I am going to enhance your life experience on the earth by giving you the resources of the spirit so that you can experience a divine life. And God can make a way for you. And he says, but you have to put me first before everything else, before other things, other events, other activities. How many of you have had asked someone to call before they come? Have you ever done that? You say, look, don't just show up. Call me and let me know. Call before you come. There are some places you can't go unless you have a reservation. Isn't that right? Or an appointment. Nobody just goes to the doctor's office, right? No, you will need an appointment. And so you have to call before you come. So there are things you have to learn how to do first. And God says, learn to come to me first. Learn to seek me first. Don't just assume. Don't take it for granted, because there is more to life than what you can see. And so if you want a different life experience, you have to be able to see from God's perspective. And then allow God to lead you through the challenges and the difficulties of life that you will face. Life is an uphill battle. Life is filled with obstacles, challenges, and difficulties, and things are very, very rarely the way they appear. And what you see is not always what you get. And what you think is not always the way it is. And so we need God to lead us and to guide us into all truths. We need to be able to give God preference. He needs to be in the first place of our thinking, of our ways. Rather than just doing something or figuring out, we should pray and say, God, give me wisdom. God, lead me. God, show me. And so whatever it is that we do first, that becomes the God of that situation. That becomes the God of that moment. Whenever you fail to acknowledge God, then you are putting whatever it is you did acknowledge, even if it was just yourself, you're putting yourself or those other things ahead of God. And the things that God says, if you want to experience the rightness of God or the righteousness of God, then you have to do things a certain way. And God says, I am giving you the way to do it so that you can have a kingdom life experience. God wants the winning position in your heart, in your life. He wants you to be in the place where he has the highest rank or authority over whatever your situations and your circumstances are. God wants to be your commanding officer. He wants to be the one who is able to give you the directions that you need in order for you to stay alive or to survive or to thrive, to even do well, even abundantly more than you could ask or even imagine, the Word of God says. God wants to have first place in your life. This is so critical, so important, so that you can be a winner in life. Life is compared to a race or a game, very often by Paul in the New Testament. And you win or lose based on how well you allow God to go before you. And if you allow God to go before you, you will have a different life experience than if you are running ahead of God, doing things on your own. And so if you keep God in the number one gear ratio position, when you go through the hardships of life, the difficulties of life, it'll be a lot easier to pedal through. It'll be a lot easier to drive through. And so you won't have to try to go through life with God in fourth gear. God does not want the fourth position or the fifth position or the eighth or the 10th or the 15th position. God needs to be in the first position, because the lower God is on the scale, the harder it is to pedal uphill, to pedal through the challenges and the difficulties of life. And you'll be straining and struggling. And other people will be going, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm doing just terrible. And they will be going up the hill. Oh, they'll be working. That wheel will be going, but they will be moving. And it's a lot easier to do this than... Have you ever done that before? You know what I'm talking about? No, you guys are the people who don't ride bikes. Oh, my goodness. I feel sorry for you guys. You missed out on, I don't even know, the pedaling, the challenges of life. It's a lot harder to pedal through life if you're in the wrong gear, if God is not in the first place of your life. Have you ever heard, this might be something you can identify with a little bit better. Are you familiar with what are considered premium products in life? And when you go and you buy something that's considered a premium product, you tend to pay more. Yeah, you can say it. You pay more because it's considered a premium product. Anything that is considered a common or inexpensive or cheap is usually less, right? Cheaper. And if it's of a poor quality or it's damaged or there's a problem with it, it's considered what? A second. It's considered to be damaged, right? And so what do you get? A discount is what you get. You get a discount. Why? Because the box was open, or because it has a little dent, or because there was a pull in the fabric, or there was something that was causing it to not be its best. It was not in the fullness of creation and of its design. Man, you guys got to get out a little more. Hallelujah. Well, are you familiar with Walmart or maybe the dollar store? I guess let's go to the dollar store. Are you guys familiar with the dollar store? Right? You go to the dollar store, that is filled with seconds or considered thirds or even fourths. It's damaged goods that were not, they didn't meet the design specification. Something went wrong or something happened in the shipment or the delivery, so it got damaged in some way, but it's damaged not enough to render it not useful, but just not worth its full value. And so they sell it in the dollar store. Or maybe you're familiar with the clearance section, all right? You guys clearance section people? Well, okay, you're probably familiar with that. All right, I guess my illustration of a Fifth Avenue premium shop store is probably something you have no idea what I'd be talking about, all right? So I don't even know if I should even mention that. But there are stores that are premium shop stores. In fact, you can't just walk in off the street. They buzz you in. Have you ever been? No. All right. So these stores, they buzz you in. And they don't just buzz you in just because you want to come in. They look at you through the door and determine whether or not you look like someone that would be buying something from their store, and they will let you in. And if they don't think you look like someone who would buy something from their store, they do not open the door. They either pretend you're not there, or they will say, wave you off. Like, yeah, no. And that's based on appearances. Yes, this place does exist. These places do exist. And this is how it is outside of the Walmart, Target world, the mall world. And so these are considered premium shops. And not everybody shops at these places because the items in the store are more expensive. And I'm sure you've heard of Woodbury Commons, right? Have you heard of Woodbury Commons? You know where that is? Down the street practically. All right. Have you ever been there? All right, very nice. All right, we're getting somewhere here. This is great. So here at Woodbury Commons, they represent premium stores from around the world. Are you with me there? You get that, right? And so what happens is you're going there because you want a discount off of the regular full price, because you want premium quality without premium price. And you know that there's something a little funky with what you're buying from there because it's a second. It's a second. But at Woodbury Commons, they don't sell
thirds, fourths, and fifths, unless it is marked as such. And so if you are able to go in and you're able to buy for a lesser price because there is some unseen damage, there is something that you as the average ordinary person wouldn't recognize as being wrong, but somebody who shops in premium shops regularly would be able to know the difference. And because you wouldn't know the difference, they sell them in malls like Woodbury Commons. And so these are premium shops. These are first place shops. And depending on what you've heard of class, right? You have some countries have class ratings for people. You know, they have them here too. You just don't know about it. but it does exist. I'm sure you've heard of the lower class, right? You've heard of low class. You've heard of people with no class, right? You've heard of people who are middle class, right? You've heard of people who are upper class, even upper middle class. You've heard of the 1%, right? You've heard, no? The 1%, right? The 1%, they represent the rich of the rich, the richest of the rich. Those are the guys at the top. They don't shop at the dollar store. Right? They're not going to the dollar store. They go to premium stores. We've seen politicians that didn't know how much a gallon of milk was in the store. Right? Why? Because they are shopping in premium shops. They have other people doing things, and they have a different perspective on life than you and me. Their worldview is different than yours and mine. Their life experience is not the same as you and I. They're not on the ground doing the things that we do on a regular basis. They have no idea. You just like you had no idea of what was going on Fifth Avenue in some of these shops and stores. Well, they have no idea what's going on in Walmart. What's going on in some of these other places at the mall. They don't have any idea what's going on at Stewart's. They don't go to these places. And so God is saying, I will change your perspective so that you don't have to worry about what's going on in the world, because you will have a heavenly perspective. I'm going to elevate your perspective so that you will have a kingdom life experience. God wants to change your life experience so that you can experience the glory of God, the power of God, the principles of God in your life. Hallelujah. Whew, this is a tough crowd. And God wants to change your perspective. That's what the Word of God is designed to do, to change our perspective from an earthly perspective to a divine perspective, so that we can experience the kingdom of God, the power of God, so that we can go through life without getting hung up on all the flaws and imperfections and all the issues and all the problems. We will be able to see what is God doing? What is God saying? And so we're going through life avoiding a lot of obstacles and challenges and difficulties because God raises us up over the situations, above and beyond the situations, and we now see God's work. We're able to recognize that God is doing something. Do you remember the first time you went to the beach? Yes. Do you remember the first time you went into the ocean, or you were experiencing a vacation and a beautiful thing of life? You remember these things. There is a certain feeling. When you go to the beach, there's a feeling. Isn't that right? When you go into water, it feels different than being on the land, isn't that right? And the first time you do these things, it changes your perspective on things, and that enables you to be more explorative. You're willing to try and do other things because you've had exposure to other things. And you're now looking to have new experiences in life. You want to experience something fresh, something new. You want to experience the good things of life,
This is what God wants to do in your life. God wants to enable you to have new experiences through him so that your faith can increase, so that you can grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of God. God wants you to be able to overcome obstacles, not get hung up on what the obstacle is or the fact that there is an obstacle or that there's a problem. God says, just look to me. I will make a way for you. And if you look to me and not look at the obstacle, I will move the obstacle, enable you to overcome. I will enable you to pedal easier if you keep me in the right gear in your life, in the right place in your life. People struggle with problems and issues over and over again because God is in the wrong place in their lives. And when you put God first, when you're seeking God first, God keeps life at its best for you. Whoa. See that? God will keep you from stumbling. Hallelujah. He will make a way for you. He will enable you. He will raise you up so you can continue to have good experiences. You remember the first time you drove in a car? You were driving. You took the wheel. You took your driver's test. Right? You remember there was a feeling that went with that. Do you remember that feeling? No? Well, maybe you ought to remember it quick, because if you remember it quick, you may not be such a danger to the rest of us on the road. But there's an experience. This first experience, if you look at this guy, he's having a different experience than the girl driving. Right? She's like, and he's like, I don't know. He's there. He's evaluating. He's like, are we going to hit that? I don't know. But life is filled with experiences. It's filled with opportunities. It's filled with all types of challenges and difficulties. And God says, I will help you navigate through them all. I will help you to have good life experiences, not just for yourself, but for the people around you, so that the people who are evaluating, the people who are watching you, the people who are there with you can have a divine experience, because you keep God first. When God is first, you enable other people to have a God perspective, because you have a different view than they do, and you're able to shine the light of God onto situations, onto circumstances, onto things, rather than allow the things to overwhelm you, anger you, upset you, and cause you to operate in the spirit of this fallen world, rather than to recognize the working of God, the interventions of God, and positioning yourself so that God can do something to make the situation easier to handle, to manage, because you are keeping God first. In Matthew 6:25, he says, for this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? He says, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? Why are you worrying if you can't do anything about it? God says, don't worry about things that are beyond your control. That's where you need faith in God. And when you keep God first in your life, when you keep God at the pinnacle part of your heart and your mind, then you can acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. He will make the crooked way straight. He will bring the mountains down and level for you to walk over them. He will raise up the valley so that you can walk across on level ground. These are all things that God says he will do for you. He says you will go through the fire and you won't even be burned. Not only will you not be burned, he says you won't even smell like smoke. God says, I can do the impossible. I can cause all things to work together for your good, if you love God and are called according to his purposes. In other words, if you keep God first, if you keep him in the right gear of your heart, the high gear, the first gear, the position of prominence, the place that is before everything else, God says He can sustain us. He says, why are you worried then about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. He says, yet I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. He says, but if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Saints of God, he's talking to the people of God. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking about people who should be able to trust in the Lord, who should be able to trust God. That's you. That's me. We ought to be able to trust the name of the Lord. Trust the will of God. Trust the ways of God. Allow him to have first place. Don't second guess God. Don't put him in second chair so that you can be in first chair. God doesn't want to share the chair. God wants to stay in the first seat. Let God be first in every aspect of your life. Let him be first on your job when you're making decisions. Let him be first in school while you're hanging around with the other schoolmates and people in the classroom. Let God be first when you're at home interacting with your families and people around you. Let God be first in your decision making, on your job, and all the things that you do. Let God be first. Hold on to the position and allow the Spirit of God to enable you to overcome every obstacle, every challenge, and every form of difficulty that comes your way. So don't worry. God will take away the worry when you have faith in God, when you realize that there is another perspective to be had. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about what's going on at the dollar store while everything is a mess. I went to TJ Maxx. I couldn't even find. This stuff was all thrown away. No, you're not worried about that. You're not thinking about that because you're shopping on Fifth Avenue at the store where they ring you in. And when they ring you in, you come in and they say, hello, how may we be of service to you? And you go in and you say, I'm looking for, and they literally go around finding what you need while you sit in a chair and they offer you water. And you're there relaxing, listening to music, classical music, and people, there's a nice fragrance in the air and it smells nice, and people are there helping you and asking you if there's anything they can do for you, and all kinds of things are going on. You're not worried about TJ Maxx. Saints of God, there's a whole nother perspective on life. There's a whole nother perspective to be had in the world. And depending on what class of person you are, that's the life experience you are going to have. And God is saying, I want to elevate you. I want to lift you up. I want you to have a divine life experience. I want to change your perspective. I want you to overcome all these obstacles, all the challenges and difficulties that are in life. All you need to do is seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. God wants you to seek him first. Then you don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, because you know God is bringing all those things to you. He's bringing them to you in an atmosphere of praise and worship where there's holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. To him and who is all honor and all glory, to him be all praise, to him be lifted up and exalted. You're in a whole different world than the guy scurrying around trying to find a parking space so I can get into the store, and then I gotta go and I'm trying to figure out what is all that, where is it? They don't have my size. Sure they do. It's in there somewhere. Just keep digging. You'll find it eventually. God says, I want to change your life experience. I want you to overcome the obstacles. I want you to pedal easy. Even though you're going uphill, I want to make it as palatable as possible for you. But it's up to you how you want to go through life. You can put God first, or you can put God down in fifth gear or eighth gear or tenth gear somewhere where you only do what his will is every once in a while. You only seek him every once in a while. You only apply his principles in your life every once in a while. Everything
everything that comes your way is a game of whack-a-mole, and you're trying to deal with all the things yourself, and everything angers you, it upsets you. This is a problem. I don't like this. I don't like that. Why are they doing it? Why are they doing that? Change your perspective. Change your perspective. Let God raise you up. Let him enable you to see so that you can overcome the obstacles of life. Satan wants to put up all of these confusing things, all these things that create chaos and that cause you to be emotionally upset and all worked up over something you don't even have control over. Not even in your power to make a difference. All you're doing is being taken over by it, overwhelmed by it, smacked around by it. And you're the one suffering. And the other people all walk away going, well, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm doing great. Oh, that was wonderful. And you're going, and you got a whole big gorilla thing going on. God says, I can set you free from all of that. I can change your life perspective. I can change your life experience. I can give you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. I can enable you to have goodness from the good treasure. Hallelujah. Oh, God wants to do amazing things in your life. All you have to do is seek first the kingdom of God. Put God first. And when your mindset shifts and changes, then your life experience will also change. And it doesn't matter where you go. You can go to the dollar store. You can go to Walmart. You can go to I don't know, wherever else. You know, the dollar store, right? Pick a place. You know, you can go Target, right? You can go there. And you can have kingdom experience. Why? Because he whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. So now you can go anywhere and have kingdom experience. You can go to places where there's chaos and confusion, and the Spirit of God will cause you to see order, and it will all come together for you. For you. Somebody else may be arguing and fussing somewhere, but you'll come in and God will have what you need right there. Boom. And he'll pull it together. Hallelujah. He will enable you to have whatever the resource it is. And you're free to go anywhere, everywhere, because God has truly set you free. And no matter where you go, you will have a kingdom experience. You don't have to go to a certain place on a certain street to have a good experience. You'll be able to go everywhere because God will cause all things to work together for your good. Why? Because you're walking in the righteousness of God. You're walking in the faithfulness of God according to the principles of his word. And you will be able to see that God is able to do abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. And so verse 32 of Matthew 6 says, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Eagerly seek. They're going after it. And they said, but for your heavenly Father, he knows that you need all these things. So God knows. Why does God know? How does God know? Because Christ is in you. And this is why the word of God says you must be born again. You must be born again. Why? Because when you're born again, the Spirit of God comes into your life. When you're born again, you are adopted into a family, into a household. You become a child of God. That gives you rights to citizenship. So now you are able to even go through the door into the walled city. Hallelujah. You're able to travel the streets of gold, the word of God says they are. You're able to see all that God has prepared for us. He says, behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And God is preparing a place. You'll be able to go in and you will be able to go out and you will be able to live. And there will be sweet sounds and a fresh scent in the air. And there will be goodness and there'll be joy and there'll be all sorts of divine experiences to be had as the Spirit of God leads you through the city of the Lord. God wants to make a way for you. All you need to do is seek first the kingdom of God.
and his righteousness, it says. It says the Gentiles, everybody, those who are godly, even those who are ungodly, are seeking these things. And they're diligently seeking them. Why are they diligently seeking them? The only reason you would have to diligently seek something is because it's hard to find. It's not just out there. It's not just there. You've got to look for it. You've got to be in pursuit of it. You've got to be, you're just doing everything you can to try to find it. But God says, I just make a way. I just make a way for my people. Oh, he says, you just keep me in first gear. Keep me in the first place. Keep me in the first chair. I'll handle all the solo work. I'll do all the hard parts. All you have to do is just blow, and I'll create the sound. I will make a way. I will enable you to have a different life experience. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, thanks, Lord. Wow. You know, if God is saying that, what does that mean? That means you better try this, because otherwise you're going to have troubles mounting up on you every single day. Every day there's going to be another issue. There's going to be another problem. There's going to be something else going on. You're going to have another thing happening. And this is the way life is, right? Oh, yeah, I fixed the well pressure switch and the well pressure valve relief valve went bad. And then you fix that, and then all of a sudden the furnace circulator pump goes bad, right? And so there's always something. There's always something that is happening, something that needs to be fixed, something that needs to be repaired. And this is the way life is. But God says, I'm going to make it easy for you to pedal uphill. I'm going to make it easy for you to overcome, to ride through the challenges and the difficulties that life brings your way. All you have to do is keep me first. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. He says, I will do something new tomorrow. I will do a new thing. I will create opportunities. I will open doors. I will enable you to keep pedaling easy through life so that you can have a kingdom life experience. All you need to do is keep me first. He says in Isaiah 26:1, he says, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. Notice they're singing songs in the land of Judah. Hallelujah. I pray that you're singing songs. Are you singing songs throughout your day? I pray you're singing the right kind of songs throughout the day. Well, maybe you're singing songs based on your life experience. But when you have a kingdom life experience, your songs change and you begin to sing of the newness of life that God is creating for you. What you sing about is what you're going to get, and it's going to what is going to be perpetuated in your life. And so he says, we have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for security. I don't know how that could be a song. He says, we have a strong city. He sets up walls and a rampart for security. Yeah. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. The one that remains faithful. Wait, no. No, I just want you to open the gates so that the righteous can enter. Oh, wait, the righteous. Oh, man, I guess this is, wow. Well, you know, you can't just get it. It's not just for everybody. There are stipulations here on the provision of God. Number one, you have to remain faithful. You have to be righteous. You got to be willing to walk, to move forward. When God opens the gate, you got to go through. You don't stand there, praise the Lord, God opened the door. Well, that's just wonderful, praise God. Well, are you going to go in, or are you just going to stand there looking? And God is looking for us to go in so that we can experience a new life experience. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. God says, if you want perfect peace,
You want peace of mind. You don't want to be operating in chaos and confusion. You don't want to be worried about all the things going on around you. God says, be steadfast of mind. That's the one God will keep in perfect peace. You will have perfect peace. It's something that will be imparted to you. It's not even something you get. It will happen if you do this thing. It's like if I jump off the stage, I will land on the ground. I don't have to try to land on the ground. It's not like I'm going to somehow go up and be flying around the room. Why? Because gravity is pulling me down. And steadfast of mindedness will cause you to have peace. It brings in peace. It will dispel darkness. It will help you to overcome because you're trusting in the Lord. You're trusting in him. He says, trust in the Lord forever. For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. God says, you can hang on to God. He's not going to break. He's not going to fall apart on you. He is an everlasting God. He lasts and lasts and lasts more than the Energizer Bunny. You do know the Energizer Bunny, right? God says, you can trust me. You can hold on to him. Hallelujah. I know I'm getting old, but good grief, I didn't realize I was so old that I outlived bicycles. Indeed, he says, verse 8, while following the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you eagerly. Your name, even your memory, is the desire of our souls. Is that your prayer? Is that your song today? Are you singing this song unto the Lord? God, oh, I want to follow your way, Lord. Lord, we're waiting on you. We're eagerly, or are you running out there taking matters into your own hands? You're not willing to wait on God. You're not willing to trust. You just want to get it done. You just want to go do it. No, we have to learn how to. We're eagerly waiting. That means I'm going to hold on and wait, even though I feel like I want to move forward. I may feel like I want to do it, but I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to hold on, and I'm going to remember. My memory is that I'm going to remember that God says to wait on the Lord. They who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up like on the wings of an eagle, and they will soar, and they will run and not be weary. They will walk and not pass out, not faint. Saints of God, do you see how all this ties together? This is what God wants us to grasp so that we can understand how to experience a kingdom life experience. He is looking for us to trust him, to put him first, to walk in his ways. He says in verse 9, at night my soul longs for you. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. For when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Oh, everybody gets right when there's judgments of the world, right? When there's problems in the world. 9/11, churches were packed. Churches were packed. Everybody wanted to come to church. Everybody wanted to seek God. They wanted to make sure they were right with God. And when there's a catastrophe, when there are problems, people want to get right with God. God says, don't wait for a problem. That's the world. That's how the world works. But you and I, we walk in the righteousness of God. We keep him first all the time. We allow him to have first priority, first place. He is the one we think of first. No one else gets in the way. No one else can take this time away. Hallelujah. He says in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 28, the Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way, and they will flee before you seven ways. He goes on, he says, the Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hands to do. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's saying all these things will be added or provided for you. Hallelujah. Do you want these things in your life? Do you want this to be your life experience? Then we have to keep God first. We have to keep him in the right place in our hearts and allow him to renew our mind as we meditate on the word of God. Then the Lord will establish you. Do you want to be established as a holy person? A holy person is someone who is walking in the ways of God, watching God do miracles in their life, one after the other. God is just taking care of them, making a way for them. That is the way of the righteous. And that is why we walk with God. He says, all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. Saints of God, we're walking around afraid. I don't got to get this. I don't want the virus. And God says, don't worry about that. You walk in the righteousness of God. You walk in the holiness of God. You walk in the ways of the Lord, and God will provide for you. He will make a way for you. He will give you wisdom. He will tell you what to do and how to do it. He will guide you through the storms, through the challenges and all the difficulties. The hand of the Lord will be upon his anointed. You need the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, stirring in your soul and your life, renewing your mind as the word of God is washing you and cleansing you and making you new. And you will change the perspective of the world around you. People will see that God is with you and that you have no fear. You are operating in the peace of God. You are of a sound mind and you have patience and kindness and gentleness. And you have all the attributes of the Spirit of God. And they're now afraid of you. And God says, because they're operating from a different spiritual perspective than you. And the spirit of darkness always is intimidated by the spirit of the light. The spirit of the light is never intimidated by the darkness, because light dispels darkness. Nobody goes into a room and turns on darkness. They turn on light. Why? Because light dispels darkness. Darkness does not dispel light. The only way for darkness to achieve the goal of dispelling light is for the light to be turned off. And the darkness doesn't have the power to do that. You and I do. Hallelujah. And so we turn on the light of God by putting him first, by allowing him to go before us. So he says, all the people of the earth will see. They will recognize that you are a child of God. You are operating in the authority of God, in the strength of God. You are not intimidated. You are not afraid. You are able to stand strong and firm. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is with you. He is your source of strength, and God will make a way for you. He says the Lord will make you abound in prosperity. He says, in the offspring of your body and in the offspring of your beasts and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. God wants to make you abound in prosperity in all these things. Do you want to abound in prosperity? I'm almost afraid to ask you guys. Do you want divine provision? Do you want God to pour into your life? Do you want God to make a way for you? Do you want him to keep you healthy? That's the offspring of your body. Do you want him to sustain you and to keep you so that even your children and your children's children will learn the ways of God and walk in the righteousness of God and therefore experience the divine provision that your testimony will establish in their life, that they will begin to see and learn and see the difference between your life experience and their friends at work or in school or wherever they are? They'll see the difference between people who have the attributes and the wisdom and power of God at work in their life against those who do not, those who are of the darkness versus those who are light. What fellowship has light with darkness? The word of God says the idea is there's none. There is no fellowship. You're either in the light or you're in the dark. It's one or the other. And God is saying, shine the light. Be the light. Let God be reflected in your life. Let him provide for you. He will make a way for you. It says in verse 12, the Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the idea here is you won't have to borrow because God will be providing for you. You'll be the one that people are borrowing from. In fact, they won't even be borrowing because you will be in a position to give it away, to just let them have it. And that's what God is working out in our lives. But you must put God first. You must seek first the kingdom of God. It says in verse 13, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you only will be above, and you will not be underneath, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully. Another very common verse that you will hear even walking by a Christian somewhere. God says, I will make you the head and not the tail. Oh, yes, you will be above and not be underneath. The part they leave out is the part you need to know. That part is the next part that says that the Lord of your God is charging you to listen to his commandments and to observe them carefully. And this is for believers. This is for people who have a relationship with God, people who know God. And that is why Christians struggle and they go through all kinds of challenges and difficulties that they don't really have to go through. It's because they do not listen to the commandments of the Lord, and they do not observe them carefully. And when you do, you open the door and the window of darkness, and it comes rushing into your life. And now you have issues and problems the same way the world does because you didn't follow the principle of God. You had God in second gear, third gear, fifth gear, eighth gear, 15th gear, somewhere down the list. And that is why you see so often so many Christian people, they have the problem after problem and issue after issue, and they have all kinds of stuff going on in their life, chaos and confusion. And you're like, goodness, what in the world? You try to talk to them in a conversation and you're constantly having to duck, and all the things they're saying are going on and going wrong. And you're like, oh man, this is just terrible. Oh, and you're trying to keep from getting hit with any of that stuff yourself. God says, put me first, and I will make the way straight. I will make the crooked way straight. I bring chaos into order. That's what God does. And when you follow the principles of God and his word, he will bring your chaos into order. Oh, he doesn't say your life will be perfect. Life won't be easy all the time. But he says, I'll make it easier to pedal up the hill, to pedal down the paths, to overcome the rocky paths into the challenges and the difficulties. There'll still be wind smacking you and things, maybe bugs flying in the air that hit you every once in a while. But God says, oh, you'll get through it. I will be with you. I am in you. And so the Lord will make you the head, and he will make you the tail and not the tail. And he will raise you up above and not have you underneath, as long as you listen to the commandments of the Lord and observe them carefully. You apply them carefully. Do them carefully. And do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, he says, verse 14. He says, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Other gods does not mean that you're serving idols or other things. It means allowing other things to knock God off of the first position. Now God is second place. That could be your kids. That could be your job. That could be whatever the situation is that you find that you have to fix yourself. You have to deal with it yourself. You don't want to pray. You don't want to talk to God. You don't want to wait. You just want to do something. And that is the thing that becomes a God in that situation, in those moments. And we have to learn how to trust in God. We have to learn how to pull back. And then verse 27 of Matthew 19 says, Peter said, behold, we have left everything, he says to Jesus, and followed you. What then will there be for us? And he says, truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the regeneration
when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also will sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses and brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. What are you going to get for following Jesus, even if your husband doesn't want to, even if your wife doesn't want to, even if your kids are bugging buck crazy wild, even if your job is giving you a hard time or you're having troubles, you got problems, no matter whatever it is you're trying to do or achieve, if you stay faithful and keep God first, God will do a miracle. God will open doors. He will touch hearts. He will reign in and he will bring your chaos into order. He will make a way even when it seems impossible. And God wants you to inherit a kingdom life experience. He says finally, but many who are first will be last and the last first. Hallelujah. If you're last, God says, I want to make you first, but put me first. If you put God first, then he will raise you up with him. And wherever God is in your life, that's where you will be in life. If you put God first in life, God will raise you up to a first place life. He will enable you to have a kingdom life experience that will change everything in your life. And finally, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, the righteousness of God, the dikhi of God, the judicial verdict, the divine approval of God will come to you. And all the things that you need, all of the resources of heaven will be added unto you. And you will see that no matter how difficult life is, no matter what challenge you face, even if you challenge something that is new and fresh, you'll have a new life experience. It might even be scary and crazy. Maybe like this. Taking off in a plane for the first time that goes askew and goes awry, God will sustain you. God will make a way for you. He will enable you to overcome if you just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sing, sing, sing.
Hallelujah.
Sing, sing.
God, he is able to do abundantly more, exceedingly more, the word of God says, than you could ever ask or imagine. But most Christians won't even experience it because they don't put God first. But you can change that for yourself, and you can experience the fullness of God, the provision of God. God will open doors that no one can shut. He will make a way for you that seems like there is no way to be made. It's just, you have to suffer through it. But God says, no, I can cause things to happen that otherwise would not happen if you put me first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Are you going through a challenge or a difficult part of your life? Well, ask God how you can put him first, how you need to make changes in where God is in your heart, in your priorities, so that the priorities of your life will always have God at the top, so that no matter what is going on, no matter what happens, the Lord is at the root of your decision making.
What is the will of God? What is it that God would have me to do? When you wake up in the morning, you put God first. He is the first part of your day. He is the one who you look to, who you talk with, who you interact with, and you walk with him throughout the day, praying without ceasing, meditating on the Word of God day and night, and you find yourself being guided by the Spirit of the Lord. He makes a way. He opens doors. God can do amazing things. All you need to do is seek God. Seek God. Whatever this is, don't wait for problems to happen. Seek God and you can avoid problems. Usually, for the average person, we run into problems because we didn't seek God in the first place. But if you start seeking God first, you will see, you will avoid a lot of challenges, a lot of problems, a lot of issues. And whatever you pray about, God will make a way about. And if you fail to pray, then you can expect to suffer and stay in the position that you're in. And so we learn the ways of the kingdom. These are kingdom ways. These are kingdom principles that we're applying in our lives. And when we learn these ways, then we can get kingdom direction so we know what to do. First, we apply the principle. Then we get the directions. Then we take the steps of faith by doing what God has given us to do. Those are the three things we have to learn if we're going to have a kingdom life experience. So I pray, Lord, that you would raise up the hearts and the minds of your people to a heavenly place, that we would be able to hear your voice and follow you, that we would know you in the pardon of our sins and in the power of their testimony at the cross, that we would be able to trust you in all our ways and acknowledge you in all our ways, that we would apply kingdom principles so that we would seek you first in all things, that your name would be lifted up in praise, that our testimony would be established in all the earth. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Come on, sing that again.
You.